Kufyud Aleph Amud Beis. V'ida. Ask your Gemara now. We're having a machlokas over here. How to learn out this halacha of afilu sachro l'sha'ot, or l'sol or l'shkol echad. That it would still be a halacha, even if it was a brief relationship that they had. And nonetheless, all of the yisurim would apply. So our machlokas revolves around the elavu nosiat nafsho, or whether it's the itcha. And if you learn that you have the itcha for the other purposes of the me'elavu nosiat nafsho, comes to tell me that any type of commitment at all, nosiat nafsho in the sense of a commitment from the heart, but anything that he has committed himself to, meaning any type of the deal whatsoever, even if it was only to work for an hour, you would be over for the Yisurim of Lo Tamim. Davar HaMaseh Nafsho Alav, that which he's given himself over to. But what if you don't need that to tell me the halacha of even Botzer Eshkol Echad? What then do you understand the meaning is of the words Elavu Nafet Nafsho? That we learn that it's coming to tell me the chumrah of the punishment for somebody who would be kovei sachar sachir, would be lay sachar sachir. Mekidatanya, as it says in the Braisa, ve'elavu nosiat nafsho, mipnei ma'alah zeh betevesh, v'nitlavilam. Why do you think that this guy is climbing up on scaffolding, hanging himself off a telephone pole, u'masarat atzmo l'mitzvah, taking a chance on his life? I mean, no normal person does this. Unless you need money. So obviously, the man's ready to risk his life in order to make that money. Lo al chalo, is it not for his wages? And therefore, imagine what it would be like to take away this karasachir. The baracher, this will all, after the baracher, will get now to the punchline. The baracher, they love it, no say it, not show. Kol hakoveis the karasachir, he will not tell, not show me, menu. So this is by saying there's also the implication, his life, the needs for life are waiting for your money, in which case, and no matter how we understand it, somebody, whether it's, this is what the man is ready to risk his life for, this is what the man needs in order to provide for his life, if you are not going to pay him, it's as if you're taking his soul away from him, both in terms of his survival and in terms of his having given away his life for you. Now the truth is, the machlok is precisely whether to learn that would be the meaning of Elavu Nosiat Nafsho, meaning that the person who is taking the money and not paying it to the sofer, he is taking away his own life. As we'll see. But the machlok is Ravuna Rapisa Chavama Nafsho Shal Gazlan. Some learn that this means Elavu Nosiat Nafsho, that the Gazlan, meaning the person who isn't paying, it's as if he killed him, and therefore he's taking his own life. The Torah is going to punish him as if he deserved to die. The Chazaman of Shoshan Nigzal. The other one says that the meaning of a love and a sin nafsho is of the Nigzal. I mean, the overall meaning, of course, is the same. It's a question of how to learn the topic. But in either event, it's telling us that either it's directly addressing that he's responsible for his own death in not paying, or look what he did to cause the death, so to speak, of the person that he stole it from, of the victim. The man, the Yom HaNafsho Shel Gazlan, the one who says it's referring to the Gazlan is because we find that the Pasuk, in fact, says it exactly that way. It says, Al Tugzol Dal Kidalhu, do not steal from the poor for that which he is poor and vulnerable. Val Tadakhe Ani Bishar, and continues on, the next Pasuk, Ki Hashem Yavid Livam, the Kovah et Kovehem Nafesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish those who do such a thing. He will curse their soul or take their soul Nafesh, meaning death. So that means that it's saying that you are responsible for your own death because you're being Goyim Kovah et Kovehem Nafesh. And if you learn that it means the victim, he has also a raya that the Torah refers to it in that way too. Man Yom HaNafesh Shem Nizal Dekhtiv Kin or Chot Kol Boseya Basa. This is the way that all of these people who think they're just playing with money and taking people's money is all about. At Nefesh Ba'alav Yikach, they take away the soul of the owner. V'idach Hanan Yikach, At Nefesh Ba'alav Yikach, that's pretty good point. That clearly, I mean, it does say at Nefesh Ba'alav Yikach, which is more mashma, therefore, that the way to learn the pasuk Elav Nasiat Nafsho is the victim's nefesh, because we see that the Torah refers to stealing in terms of the victim's nefesh. No, he learns that that's not the victim. That Nefesh Ba'alav Yikach is the current owner, meaning the Gazlan. So then if it's Nefesh Ba'alav, the guy who's keeping it, Yikach, he's taking. He'll take his own soul away. That's the meaning. And he does not receive a kavat koveim nafesh. But we do find the Torah does refer to the robber as the one who's been kovish the sachar, the one who's going to lose his life. No. You're reading it wrong. The way to read the pasuk is not kavat koveim nafesh. It's the kavat koveim. God is going to steal from those who stole. Why will he do this? Nafesh, mishum delitul nafesh. Because when I take, What is it that I have to take from the guy? I don't take his money. I take his soul. Why do I take his soul? Matam. Nafesh. It's because we're dealing with matters of life and death over here. I mean, what he did to this guy was nogea, as far as I'm concerned, life and death. And therefore, he deserves to be kovat kovehen. E matai bizman shetavo. Lo kavo et o v'yala. Then the Mishnah continues and says, whether you chayav on all of these various yisurin only if the hired worker demanded payment. But if he never demanded payment, then you're not going to be chayav for not paying him up immediately. Tana Rabbana says in the Torah, v'lo t'gzor v'lo t'alim et pulat shafir itka ad bokeh. Yokol afilu lo tavo. You might think that means even if he wasn't. They're demanding money, and it's your responsibility to chase him and to give him his money. Talmud Lomar, it says, Batlo Tamin Pulat Safir Itcha Ad Bokeh. It's where it is that it's with you, meaning in your terms of your desires, with the Atcha, that it's where it's against him. Yoko, Afilu Eno. So you might think, if that's the case, if the man asks me for money, then even if I don't have money, I'm going to be over on these Yisurim because that was what my responsibility was. No. Talmud Lomar Itcha. Dafka Shiyesh Itcha. It's only where you have the money. That's what it's saying. You're keeping the Shkar Safir Itcha. But if you're not keeping the Shkar Safir Itcha, so then there's no Yisur. Yokal Afilu Imchahu Eitel Chenvani. This, by the way, is the origin of the modern Hebrew word. Hamcha'a is the correct word for check. I don't know nobody uses it anymore. But the original Hebrew Academy word for check is a hamcha'a. So he saw it's a kind of an is, and there was a sense of pay to the bearer type of thing. Words, I open up an account for him that he would be able to charge against in a grocery store, or a shulchani, or open up a line of credit for him in the bank, and they refuse to honor it. So the guy goes into the store, comes up to the counter, and they don't honor the credit that I said that I would pay, or the bank refuses to give him the credit that I arranged. So you might think if that's the case, then you're in trouble. You didn't provide properly. Talmud Lomar Itcha, only where, again, where you're taking the money, but not Shimchal Etzalakanvanim Etzalakanvanim, not when you provided a check for the grocery store for the bank, and then they were the ones who didn't properly follow up on it, that's not your responsibility. Oh, we'll see in a moment. We shall see. By the way, Barnea, I left your in Yerushalmi Shviyat in the other room. So now, what Rebbe just asked us is in fact the Gemara's next question. Fine, I understand. It says he's not over. He's not going to be over on the Yisra because he had arranged a line of credit for him that he could draw against. But Lamaita, the line of credit wasn't honored. So now, does the guy come back to me or does he go through the bank? Because I did what I had to do. So he Bible, Choser, oh, I know Choser. Can he come back to me and say, look, I don't feel like sitting here arguing with the banker. Forget about your line of credit. Give me money. There's a machlokas for Pshishas and Rabba. Says Rabba, take a look at the Mishnah. I can show you from the Mishnah that he can't go back, because why would the Mishnah say Eino Over Allah? Eino Over Allah means you're not Miyadeh with the law of Avayim. You're not over on the Yisur. But it's your business. It's just that now, fine, you don't have the 12 hours to perform. Because you did perform. Okay, but Lamaise is the guy who get his money, so obviously going to come back to you. Otherwise, what are we talking about that you're not over? It should have said. And you were already Makayim the Tashlumis. So on the Hadar Hadar, you see that it does go back to him. And it says he's not over, it means he's out of the picture. That he is no longer the one that can be over at all, no matter what, because he already arranged for the guy to be paid. Now somebody else is not honoring the money that he owes. I gave the money to this storekeeper in order to cover this guy's purchasing. Now that storekeeper stole the money. So funny. The Poel had agreed to the storekeeper taking the money. So just let him find it out with the storekeeper. Yeah. How about Kablanut? How about we've been talking about Sirut? How about contracting? So if I contract with someone, is that exactly the same as hiring him? Or as a contractor, he's essentially independent. When he gives me the job that I contracted, let's say I told him to build my kitchen for me. Yeah? So he now builds a kitchen. So the question is he essentially the owner of that kitchen? And now I owe him for the kitchen? Or do I pay him for the work? Now, the difference, this question is dependent on an issue that we've spoken about many times before, which is a contractor kone, somebody who makes something, is he kone the value of his input in his product? Now, obviously, if he was the one who actually owned the wood and so on and so forth, there'd be no question. I mean, he's giving me something. Here we're talking about a case where I had him paint something that's already mine. I didn't paint on new paint. Now he's, but not as a worker, not hiring him by the hour. He's a contractor, paint. And I paid him for the paint and so on, that's mine. So now the question is, does he get a lien, essentially, in terms of ownership of what it is that he did? In which case, what we have right now is a typical credit arrangement. I owe him money like a loan. He gave me credit. I owe him money. If I don't pay a makolet man, I'm not going to be over on the dinner of Lo Talim Pula Tzachir. I just didn't pay up a loan, basically. That's a completely different issue. So if we view a contractor as owning what it is that he makes because he gets a mechanic's lien, so to speak, in the work that he did, so he would be Konen Shevach. He would be Konen Shevach Teli. Imagine those waves lapping up against. There you go, Rich. That wakes you up. I never see you fall asleep in here, so. So here too, that would be what it would be dependent in. Look, says the Gemara. Do we say that Uman Kone B'Shevach Kli V'Halva'ahi? Do we say that a contractor has ownership of what it is that he presents to the guy, and therefore this is just a loan? Or in Uman Kone B'Shevach Kli, this is routine. Or if he doesn't get any rights, then this is just a glorified payment for work. Payment for work is covered by these issues. Amalur of Sheshes over. Prayer of Sheshes says, yes, he is over. And therefore he's a Sakhir, which implies that he holds that an Uman is not Kona B'Shevach Kli, and therefore it's just Sirut. Says the Gemara, Tanya in over. But there's a Brisa that says about exactly a case like this, that he would not be over. And then that Brisa is talking about Shimchoi Tochen Vanivei Toshul Chani. There, it was referring not to the case over here of Kablanut. It was referring to the case of a Hamcha'a, which we said already in our Mishnah. We know that you're not over in that case. Okay, then maybe we can prove from another Brisa, we could prove Rav Sheshes' contention. Maybe the Tanya'a. Hanotein talito le'uman. Somebody gives now a talit to be worked on by the Uman. Now, we're assuming that this means that the man is doing something in his life, dying or putting in tzitzit or whatever, but something that he could be called in the Shevach Kli, was the assumption. Gamrai, he finishes the work. Bo'odio, and he calls him and tells him to pick it up. As long as he still has my talit in his store, I'm not going to be over on Baal Talim. But Natnolo B'chati Hayom, if he gives it to him in midday, then Mishakar Lavachama over Mishum Baal Talim. by the end of the day, I will be over. Now, that's saying that I'm treating this guy as a sakhir and not as an uman. So I don't say that he was kone b'sheva kli. Yamed ha'uman kone b'sheva kli. Amai over. If, in fact, whatever he did would have been accrued value in my talit, then I owe him for that value, not for his work. So it seems that Rav Sheshes is right, and we would not say it. That uman kone b'sheva kli. Omar of Mori, Bereder of Kahana, we're talking over here in the case of a garda de sarvo. A garda de sarvo is what passes today for a dry cleaner, but they didn't have dry cleaning. Materials, there are plenty of materials that cannot be washed. So what did they do? They essentially re-teased it. So they used a brush to get all the dirt out of the fibers and pull the fibers back up. And when you wear something for a long time, it gets shiny and all the fibers are pressed down. So over here, you re-tease the fibers, bring up the net, so to speak, put them to fire. Now the problem is, when you do that, you actually damage the fibers. In other words, if you wouldn't do anything to it, it would last longer. It wouldn't look very nice, but it would last longer. Over here, every time you do that, you pull out fibers and you weaken the weave. So in that sense, you can't look at him as being kona something in it, because he's actually... I'm going to get all the yellow set up again. Really dangerous. Right? Because he's actually weakening you. And it's going to be worth less, ultimately, because of the job he's doing. Therefore, I'm only paying him for his work in this case. I mean, come on. So Lamai Yavanele. So what did he give it to him for? He gave it to him for the Lekuche. He gave it to him because he wanted it to be softer. Fine, so that means it doesn't need to work much more if it's softer. What's the difference with long term? I understand long term. We're talking about right now an unclean garment versus a clean garment, so to speak. So what are you telling me? It's not worth anything. So it's worth that difference. And I know Shabbat. That is the Shabbat. Talking about over here, you're right. It's not talking about a garda de sarvala. It's talking about prior to a garda de sarvala. It's talking about a fuller. So what they have to do in those days, they have to be the material. I think they still do it on some materials today. I mean, certainly on jeans they do it. But after the weaving is completed, so what they would do is they would put it into a solution of water and fuller's earth, which would cause it to expand. That way you would have more like a jean type of material rather than material that you could see through. The fibers would expand instead of the modern, you know, you hold up a pair of pants, you see right through it, basically. Unless it's a very thick weave. So that way the water would expand the fibers, would make it tougher, and then he would trample it into a mold, you know, from a press kind of thing. And that was his job, to be batushe. Batushe means to bang on it, to smooth it out. So there, it's batcha batcha bima'ata. He's giving him a penny per batch. In other words, basically, I think where patch comes from, but that's what he's paying for as a sakhir. He's not paying him over there for the uman. It's not referring to umanut there at all. Finally, we get to the last part of the Mishnah, which says this halacha of giving us the 12-hour period in which you can collect, the yom, has a very important implication. And during that period, the workman has a right to swear that he was not paid and collect, which of course runs against halacha and the Torah. Halacha and the Torah is only the person who doesn't pay swears. Sometimes doesn't even have to swear, such as if he denied it completely through the Kofra call. Sometimes he has to swear, we admitted to some of it, but there's never a case where somebody swears in order to make us believe his shvua to take something. You only swear because you're denying something. So this thing comes really out of left field. Now remember that there is a amoroi halacha, which is not from the time of the Tanai, which is called the shvua test. The Shuas has said, in general, is where somebody is in a position where he wouldn't normally have to swear because he's not a kohen gadol. Where you're getting away with not paying at all, you're also going to swear. So lemaisa, whether I'm putting a shvua on you to take or telling you that you have to make a shvua minarabonah not taking, there's always going to be a shvua involved in terms of the modern halacha. However, remember that these brises were said before shvua, so anyway, so don't get confused with that. So, but certainly our Mishnah is saying a very strange thing. A person can make a shvua and take something. So, Safira, Maita Kino Le Rabbanan Le Mishtabea Bishakil. Why did the Rabbanan give him this power to swear and then to take? Amr, you know Bishvua? Ooh, halachot gidalot shanokan. These are very major halachas. It sounds like we're talking about halachas of Moshe B'Sinai and so on. And so he goes, well, what are you talking about, halachas? There's no halachas. Ani hilchot anino dir. There's no hilchot anino dir. Over here, these are takanas. Or what's the reason for the takana? What are you telling me halachas of the Dovah for the year? Takanot nino. El Amr, you don't know Shmuel. No, this means takanot gidolot shalok. Oh, these are major takanas. Oh, come on, man, what did you know about what the Chlavikat Kachanot? What do you mean? There's not minor takanas, major takanas. On what standards exactly do we measure takanas? Is it a scale of 1 to 100, 1 to 10? I mean, what is that supposed to mean? Any takanas, a takana, because we're trying to achieve something. Just say something that's intelligible. No, so it means like this. A lumber of Nakhon Hashul, takanot tu'ot shanukah. Meaning, it is correct in this case to create a situation bitviut, which we normally wouldn't do, you know? There is such a thing as a dayan using his judgment to uproot a shvua and to put it on the other guy. That's part of the din that's given over in general, that a dayan is supposed to, nowadays we don't do it, as the Rambam says, because we no longer take advantage of the power that's given to us, because we're not sumach on our own sensibilities the way that people once were. But a dayan has the right to be mahapech shvua and to be demand the other person to be, or he could say, well, I don't trust your shvua, let the other guy swear and take, and so on. But here we're doing something bitviut. This is how Rashi understands it. So it's kavua that we're being ochre the diraisa. Diraisa would be in a case where it was a motive of mitzvah. Even if it were a diraisa, Tosfos points out, even in the case where it's a kofar bakol and there's no diraisa, but certainly it wouldn't, I mean, if you're going to do anything, it's more suitable to make the person who would be swearing the shvua and not paying if it were a motive of mikdash, to extend that into a kofar bakol situation. Talman, why is it that you can't sit up front? How am I supposed to enjoy your presence over there just with the with single eye in the back of my head? Yeah, it doesn't give me 3D vision. There we go. It's those sunglasses. It does it every time. It isn't really Tolman, you know. But it's okay. Right? So that's how Rashi learns. Kavua. In any event, that's how I understand Rashi. So that we're doing something which would normally not be done to Kriyut, but could be done as a response, as a Horat Sha'at, to a situation. We are being Koveya as an actual Takana. Tosfos doesn't like that shot. He says the reason that we call it Kavua is because when you're okay something, when you rip something out from where it's supposed to be, you have to attach it elsewhere. So the takanot kvuot means we've reattached things over there. These are takanot of reattachment. And now we have to understand what's the logic for this reattachment. It's like this. The truth is shvur the balabayati. Obviously, if anybody has to swear, it's the balabayati. Even the diraisa, because it's a kofar bakol, or if we were making a takana, we would extend it to the balabayati. The akrua rabbana and the shvur, it's Tosfos is a lashon over here, right? Because we were okay, we uprooted something. We took it away from the balabayati. The shadyua asachir, we gave it over to the right of the hired help, mishum kidei chayav de sachir, because it's important for him to survive. Oh, a liberal. Mishum kidei chayav de sachir, I see. Just because he needs to live, therefore, of course, the guy who has a little bit more money, he should lose his money. I mean, why not? This guy needs to live, why shouldn't he lose his money? That's a ridiculous argument. No, nothing more. Balabayat goofing, that's what I did. The truth is that ultimately, in terms of the aggregate, when you look at the takana, it's an aggregate takana for the overall takanat ashok. A balabayat is happy with this arrangement, because he wants to keep a situation in which people are willing to work without undue complications. If I need a worker suddenly, I want to be able to get up in the morning, run out to what used to be Shashkam, and find people that are ready to come, and not when I go over there, they're going to say, well, you got a contract, you got witnesses, you got, forget it. In order to maintain, okay, fine, so once in a while I'll get some screwball that's going to make me pay. You know, but I'd rather have a market with workers. And you could make the opposite argument too. You could say, workers are happy that the balabayit should be able to go and swear and not have to pay, because otherwise people are going to be very, very mocked. The first time you go around and you use this shvuah against the balabayit and collect, he ain't ever going to hire you again. He's going to say, that's great. Don't trust him. Who knows what he'll do? He'll come back and say he didn't pay him. So because of that, why in aggregate is the sucker happy with this arrangement? Then ultimately he wants to know, look, I'd rather not be the one that's going to just take the money from him. And if he wants to swear that he didn't pay him, I don't believe he's going to swear. But, I mean, this way it's on his head. So if he says, well, look, I don't know, maybe I don't want to swear. The first will pay me. If he does want to swear for those rare times, certainly it's not to die for me to get blacklisted. No, what do you mean? But Balabayat al Korche Agar, the Balabayat can't afford not to hire. He can't start now being put into a situation which he's not going to hire people. I mean, what's he going to do with his thing? Well, I got news for you. Believe it or not, workmen need to work, because otherwise they ain't going to eat. So Sakhanami Balkorka Yitzkar, you can make the same argument the other direction. Ultimately, a workman's going to get himself hired out no matter what. So what do we make? Whatever direction you take, I mean, you're not responsible over your deceit to it, that the world keeps moving. I mean, the world's going to keep moving. He needs to hire. This guy needs to be hired. What are we getting involved in this for? Ella, the truth is, there's another issue over here. And that is Balabayat Arud Bepalimu. If we... if it hadn't been for this complication, first of all, let's think the way it is. However, as we know, and as I have seen plenty of times, a balabayit who is dealing with different people doing different things easily gets confused. You're making out a payroll, you think you already made out a check to somebody, you never made out the check to them, you voided that check, and so on. The guy comes in, he wants his money, you tell him, get out of the office, we took care of you already. And you're in a mood in which you don't have time for people. So therefore, and once you do that, once you made that first statement, get out of the office, you have essentially psychologically committed yourself not to look further into the case. So you're not going to discover that you didn't pay it. And since you're often, a balabayit is often in that position, we've got 50 people clamoring and arguing about the job, was it done right, it wasn't done right, it doesn't remember who we talked to and so on, it's reasonable that within that short period right after where all the pressure comes up, and that's why we made the stuck on only during that period, within that short period, he easily gets confused, and the workers are going to be able to lose out, and therefore we gave it to the Sakir to swear. Well, that's because he actually made the label of Shua. I mean, so if you want to be okay as he is, I mean, you want to say you don't have to say much of a hell of a ride in this case, so then just say, well, since this happens all the time, then let the guy say that he's owed money, let's believe him. Why do we make a shua? We can't do that. If the balabayit can't feel that he's been taken advantage of over here, he has to feel protection under the law. We create a situation in which the balabayit is protected. So unlikely a man's going to go to court, make a shua, just to screw the guy out of the money that he really did already, right? And therefore, if it's a question of a mistake, this gives it into the hands of these stuff here, because we're assuming that it's the balabayit who made a mistake and not him. He knows perfectly well if he was paid or not. The balabayit really doesn't care all that much. So the nation was to Abram. What do we have to get involved in this? Why don't we just say that in general, nobody should pay a workman unless he has witnesses? And if he didn't have witnesses, so this will be Yudav Tivanakshi. He was going his own effort. And if we say to him, now wait a minute, we made it that cutting, you're supposed to pay only with witnesses. You're saying you pay? Well, I didn't find witnesses. Well, you didn't find witnesses. That's the takona, that you were supposed to only pay with witnesses. So therefore, let him collect without any shvua. Why don't we do it that way? Why should we be covered? And that way, the balabai discovered also. No, that's because Tzrichim U'Milsa. We're not going to make a takana over here that what, all day long now you have to start running around for people who are willing to witness it and so on. It's crazy. I mean, you can't do things like that. You need to figure out spontaneity in business. So the nature of the inquiry, well, why don't we just make a takana that pay should be in advance? So that way, if a guy isn't paid, so then the person is not going to work. If he wants to go work without pay, then he knows that this guy's a tough character. And so then he was mocked himself. No. That doesn't work. Nobody wants to be paid in advance. The guy doesn't want to be paid in advance because who knows what's going to happen with the money. He's going to carry around the money with him all day. And what's going to end up, he's going to be buying beers with it. That he doesn't want. He wants the money at the end of the day. And the balabai, it certainly doesn't mean money. Sometimes it takes, you know, all day. He has to go to the bank. He doesn't have money in the morning. He forgot to get money yesterday. And so he wasn't prepared for it. That nobody would want. We'll make a call and that's not for the good of anyone. So wait a minute. If this is the case, so then why, if they have an argument about how much they had agreed to on, why don't we say that there too the workman is more aware? Alona Tanya, why is it saying the Brisa that Oman Omer Shtayim Katzatzeli, Vahala Omer Lo Katzatzeli Lachalai Achad? If they're arguing about what it was I was supposed to be paid, was it supposed to be $1, was it supposed to be $2? So there we say, Amotzi Michaviro Alav Araya. It's standard. Now, if you want more money, prove that that was the deal. Oh, you're right. I don't wake up the skipper. So over there we say, Amotzi Michaviro Alav Araya, and we don't say that he should make a shvu and take. No, it's something else. A businessman doesn't take pride in remembering whether he paid his worker, but he sure as heck takes pride in the deal that he cut. He's not getting confused at what deal he cut. So then, okay, fine. But if the question over here is that we say that the guy is not sure, and therefore we should believe the worker, why do we make it only during that period? So the yoke yafi lo ova zmano nami, and even if it was afterwards, and he'll love it's not. Once the time passes by, then you do not have the right as a workman to swear and take. That's because Chazot in Balabai Dover Mishum Bal Palim. No, Balabai is not going to be over, it is to be right. What do you mean? You said that the guy got confused. So, I mean, if he got confused, he doesn't know he's being over on Bal Palim. So why should, what's the problem? Yes, but the only time that we say the guy did not put sufficient thought into it is before the Zman of the Chiyuv came, because he's not worried right now about being over on the interview right now. Once the time of the Chiyuv arrives, now he thinks to himself, wait a second, I can't, I only got another 10 minutes, so I pay that guy in life. So there already, he will be running on that shape. Umika, he will think about it and he will remember. So, in other words, so what are you going to say? So then, let's wait. You can't do that because once the person has argued about it, then he won't be running on action because it's psychologically. But if their suffering is coming now after the time to be prevailed, and then the person is okay, then he's going to be thinking about it. Well, what do you mean he won't be over it? So the sucker also can say, well, the sucker wouldn't be over on Lotigno, would he? I mean, we're talking about all these tzaddikim over here. So he's saying, well, the Balahaya, that's a chazak, he's not coming. What do we think? He's going to be over, and this will be right. And the sucker is going to go tell you, you didn't pay me. Well, you did pay me, it makes you pay twice. Why, remember what? He said, we should assume he's a ghanis. I mean, so both of them, fine. He's doing this, and he's doing this thing. True, but often trey chazak, often chazak, chazak, gabi balabayit. When it comes to Balabayat, there's two issues over here. First of all, that Ein Balabayat Over Mishum Bal Palim. And secondly, something very strange, where the sucker never said anything about it for the first 12 hours, only the next day he comes. Why didn't he ask for his money? Right? So in other words, I now think, must be something fishy over here. Probably he was paid yesterday. That's the plan. He did come. So once the guy comes during the 12 hours, there's nothing we can do. Because we can't say, well, let's wait and then see if the guy really thinks about it when it comes to time of history. He's already thought about it. Once you thought about something, you don't think about it. Again, you're convinced that you're right. Okay, so therefore during the first 12 hours I have to make that takana. Because at the time that he told the guy, get out of the office, I paid you already, what's it? No, Dan, this would be right. So afterwards, he's already made up his mind about the Yisrael Raisa, you see. It's a very insightful reality. This is the way people are. If the Chatchila, they're going to be thinking about it with more seriousness, they may think about it differently. But once you came to a conclusion, even though it was a very unserious conclusion, in your mind, that conclusion stands very strongly. Even when you have serious reasons to reconsider. You never reconsider. So in that case, we're going to believe, with the Shmuel, of course, the Sakhir. In the case where he didn't show up, then already there's something strange. Why didn't he show up? So now already, we put it back to the way it was. In Yesh Edim, says the Mishnah, the next last of the space of the Mishnah, the last closing words of the Mishnah, if there are Edim, that he had been Tovea during the time, then indeed after the time, he can still be Nishba Benot. I don't know what that is. Why is it? So first we think it means that he was Tovea. So, stop that he was Tovea. So we're asking, well, I understand. I mean, so he's being Tovea right now in court. What do you mean if there's witnesses? We see him being Tovea. What does that mean? No, this is what he means. If there are witnesses, that he was Tovea during the earlier time. So what if he was? I understand. Now it's a week later. The guy's coming to the court. And he's saying, I have witnesses that I was Tovea. Fine. And what does the guy say? Yes, very good witnesses. Your witnesses are 100% reliable. However, after they came, I paid you, you jerk. I mean, it's a week later. When he comes to talk to me, they take me to court because you have witnesses from a week ago that you asked me to pay you. Exactly. You asked me to pay you. And I paid you. So if the devil of us are asking for him, they maybe did pay you. I'm not buying it. It's talking about Shetavo Kozmano. It means over here that he gave him, he has witnesses that at the last possible moment. Doesn't mean literally that has to be the whole time. But it means so he came at the end, right? Of the 12 hours. It was right before daybreak, if you're a night payment, right before nightfall. And he says, you know, you still haven't paid me. So witnesses now come and say, you know, at that time, when the guy would have been believed, the man claimed to have paid him, and he said he never was paid. Right? So now, okay, but it was a court, I mean, it was the first time we got a chance to get to court, but we're being Tovea based on that earlier tfiyah. And if the guy at that point could have been Nishba Benotel, then he should be able to be Nishba Benotel now. Well, what do you mean now? Will the Olam, what do you mean, for the rest of his life, he could be Nishba Benotel? We should assume, I mean, this is, what is this year? Rav Chama Baruch is connected to Yom Shel Tviyah. What it means is that we give him the same amount of time as that original right to be Tovea. We have that first 12 hours, so now we extend it. Okay, you were Tovea at the end of those 12 hours. The guy says, not fine. You've got 12 hours now to get it paid up. And if you're Tovea again, and you have witnesses again, this guy wants to give you another 12 hours. But obviously not that you're going to come a week later and say, gee, you know, I really didn't get a chance, but for that we don't say. You can extend it by having witnesses you were Tovea.